This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome into the NBA Morning Deuce for Thursday, March 11th. We are back, baby. The NBA is officially back. We have basketball. There are basketball games being played. There were two tonight. Neither of them were very good. But I come away from this Mavericks-Spurs game that's just ending right now as we're recording. By the way, if you'd like to say the time, feel free.
No, it's fine.
Okay. And even though the Spurs are going to lose this game, they're down 10 with 45 seconds left as we have begun this recording. I find myself saying something that I never thought I'd say at the beginning of this year, which is I really like watching the Spurs.
Wow. I did not anticipate you saying that at all.
There's just something about, I like their roster, man. I just like a lot of their players. Coach Popovich looks like he is getting ready to just spiral into like this old man insanity with his haircut. He just did some weird stuff in the game today. They're just fun. You never know what's going to happen. Plus big news out of San Antonio today. Let's talk about the Memphis game first, cause that game's over, and then we can get back to San Antonio, cause it also relates to the big news out of San Antonio today, which is really all there is to talk about. Not a whole lot else. A few small things that we can probably touch on briefly at the end, but you know, games are back. That's what this show's about, going through the games. So Memphis blows out the Wizards 127-112. And I watched the majority of this game. It looked like the Wizards had a shot to come back. They have, and this has been an issue for them all year, right? They have zero depth up front. It's just brutal when you're watching this game and you know Magic Johnson's favorite underrated big man, Jonas Valanciunas, goes for 29-20. And I don't know if that's outrageous. I don't know if that's a career high or a first time, but it's got to be one of the best games of his career, if not the best game of his career.
Four blocks.
Yeah, he was unstoppable. I had him in FanDuel, by the way. Love having NBA back just to have FanDuel. Love it. A whole week not
having you in the money? Yeah,
I am. I am, but with a two... I mean, you know how it is with FanDuel. You have to be perfect. So I did have him, but I'm not winning big money. But I am winning money, like winning my money back, basically. But he had 67 points at FanDuel.
Take that.
A lot of points. This Memphis team, you know, the villain is healthy. They're starting Desmond Bane now, who's just shooting the piss out of that ball. Justice Winslow is healthy, even though he shoots the ball way too much, but he's another just versatile player for them. He can handle the ball. You know, he had 6 rebounds, 4 assists. They look like a playoff team. They look like a potential playoff team. This is the team that was playing really good at the beginning of the year. They're just tough. They defend well. I mean, Brad Beal had 21 points. That should tell you something about this team.
Brad Beal had his worst game of the year. I just kind of went back through it. 6 for 22. So they beat him up really well. I mean, if you're the Wizards and Brad Beal has a bad game, you're going to get smoked. Like, it's just how it is. But they really buttoned him up tonight.
Well, yeah, he was 1-for-8. That's partially true, but also they had a chance. Like, they were in this game, and they just had no answer for Jonas Valanciunas. Just like,
that's scary.
I don't know how you can even remotely hope to compete going forward in the East when Jonas Valanciunas is the guy that's giving you the business. Look, it's not like John Morant went nuts. He had 20. They spread it out. I mean, Bain had 20. Morant had 21. It's not like Morant went for like 40 and you got blown out. Morant had 21. Yeah, their leading scorer was Jonas with 29. The other thing watching this game that I realized, actually both of these games, and I don't know if it's just like a week off from basketball or something. It's like there's the little things. There's players you just forget about. It's the NBA, so everyone's amazing. But there's so many good players, and there's so many guys that are just so good at specific things that you don't get to see them every night, or especially when you do a show like this and you're trying to watch this game and that game. And I tend to like have League Pass up and I'll switch to the fourth quarter. That's why League Pass desperately needs a red zone type of thing. So you could just not have to keep following the scores and going, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just like switch to the fourth quarter of whatever game's close generally and just try to keep tabs on everything. So you miss. How the fuck is Brandon Clark not in the dunk contest?
He's pretty electric.
I mean,
he should have been in there.
He doesn't have to do anything. Every time he jumps, it is an elite athletic event. We talked about John Collins and how he's spring loaded, not like Brandon Clark. I don't know. You forget because when he gets a lot of minutes, he puts up decent numbers. He's had injury problems, even in college coming out. I think he had some injury stuff and he's a little undersized, but holy shit, man. Every time he jumps, it's like his head's going to go through the ceiling. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's a really fun team. Like, if I'm like Memphis fans are probably stoked because of like the excitement. Like, you knew Ja Morant was going to be an animal, but then you've got just like fun players to watch. Like you talked about Brandon Clark, Justice Winslow is a good athlete. Xavier Tillman, who fouled out in 15 minutes tonight, which is kind of crazy.
He was awful. He was awful.
I'm like, the West, the back end of the West is so confusing to me because I think this Memphis team is a playoff team, but that would mean, I'm sorry, a top eight team, but that would mean either the Warriors or the Mavs don't get in. Like, it is so tight.
Well, I set
the bold prediction.
Bold prediction yesterday is that the Warriors won't get in.
And one of my bold predictions was that the Wizards would eclipse the Raptors. So I did not have a good start to my bold predictions.
Yeah.
But Memphis is a good team.
And Desmond Bane is it's fun watching a guy like Desmond Bane be a great shooter because he's also jacked. He got huge arms. Like he's rare
for a shooter.
Right? That's what I mean. You don't typically look at like jacked dudes and you're like, oh yeah, that guy's probably a shooter. You look at him. You'd probably look at him if you didn't know he was one of the best shooter in the draft potentially, or one of them, and that you would look at him and you'd be like, what's this guy, like an undersized three? Is he just like a defense? Is he, what's this guy, Jay Sean Tate, but a little more defined?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have the body type of your typical body type of a shooter. And then on the opposite end, you got a guy like Kyle Anderson, who has the body type of a shooter, but moves like a 50-year-old man.
He has truly one of the best nicknames in that. Like, Slow-Mo is the perfect nickname for that guy because he looks like he's in quicksand out there, but he still manages to put up, double digits and he passes well.
His team's just fun. I feel like Joe Ingles, they also call him Slow-Mo.
Really? I didn't know that.
Maybe I'm missing that. I'm going to look that up on Basketball Reference because I feel like I've heard him referred to as like Slow-Mo Joe or something like that.
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
Slow-Mo Joe.
Hmm.
Damn. He was around before Kyle Anderson, wasn't he? Yeah, actually, they probably around the same time.
Yeah.
Kyle Anderson's been in the league for a while. Joe's just older. Took longer to get the league.
More like Memphis is fun to root for. Like, if you're looking for a team just to kind of watch on League Pass, yeah. Memphis is cool. They're fun.
Yeah, Brandt Clarke. I was watching him. He had one alley-oop, and I'm like, or it might have been a fast breakdown. I don't remember what it was, but I was just like, this guy's in the NBA, and Cassius Stanley's in the dunk contest. No offense to Cassius Stanley. I know everyone thinks he got robbed, and that's fine. His dunk was great. You're telling me Brandon Clarke can't be in the dunk contest? Maybe he turned it down.
I was going to say, yeah, maybe they just didn't get enough guys that wanted to be in it. And they went with three people. Like, what does that tell you, you know?
I know, but man, what's Brandon Clarke's excuse? Come on, dude. You got nothing else going for you.
Hold on. I just found the highlight. I'm going to watch it. Let's see this guy.
Look, Obi Toppin's a bigger name right now than Brandon Clarke is. Obi Toppin did it.
Oh, wow. He is actually spring-loaded. I just watched it.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
That was off 2 feet. Like,
it's crazy. That's beautiful. It's insane. It's nuts. All right, good win for Memphis. And then the game that just ended, Dallas beat San Antonio 115-104. Like I said, I liked watching the Spurs sometimes when, no matter how good you're playing, when the other team has the two best players, you're just going to lose. Porzingis made, and you could see, like, he had 28-14, maybe his best game of the year that I've watched, just in terms of clearly making a concerted effort. Like, the first play of the game was a paint touch and a post up, and he scored at the rim. Like, a concerted effort to get shots at the rim. Now, he still only took 17 shots, and 5 of them were threes, but he took some threes late in the game. He was trying to score, to get touches closer to the rim. It seemed like there was like an effort made. And that's all you can ask, because up until this point in the season, up until now, it looked like he was allergic to the paint. And the Spurs team has been playing really good. And the way Dallas has been playing, you're like, well, if Luka doesn't go for 30, they're not winning games. He only had 22 tonight. It's because Porzingis had probably one of his best games of the season.
Yeah, and this was, I mean, he had a big game in the fourth quarter as well. He scored a bunch of crucial shots. I'm looking at the play-by-play now. So it's not like this was like a hollow in any sense, because this is a close game, and then he had a big fourth quarter, and they pull away at the end. So, I mean, maybe it's a concerted effort by Rick Carlisle, like, to do exactly what you said, you know, make him dangerous from different parts of the court, because he does look like just a spot up. He looked like exactly what everybody gets on Cat about, you know, like, you're so big, why are you just standing out on the perimeter in the first half of the season? And yeah, for them to be like what we thought they were at the beginning of the season, like, Porzingis is gonna have to be this good the whole way. I really think so.
Yeah, well, yeah, because the rest of their team is not very good. They have some pieces, but man, it's just not, there's not a lot. Yeah, these guys, if you get, and also San Antonio, we still don't know how, if they're actually as good as they played in the first half. Mm-hmm. I'll say this, there's so many guys on that team I really like watching, and we'll talk about their front court here in a second, because the biggest news of the day has to do with their front court. Mm-hmm. But as it currently stands, there's a lot of stretches in that game that they were just playing four wings, and Rudy Gay was the tallest guy on the floor. Like, they're starting Jakob Poeltl, he played 32 minutes. That's just not going to cut it. And then, you know, Rudy Gay is very good. He's actually still at this point in his career is a very good player. There's a lot of teams I think that would love to have him, but then you know why Porzingis is able to score in the paint. Cause look at who he's going up against in this game. Mm-hmm.
That's very like, Pop has not really embraced the small ball thing very much, right? Like,
I think Pop. I wouldn't say that. I think he just plays what he does what he's plays with the hand he's dealt, I guess is the way to put it. Whoever's on the, you know, whoever he has, he tries to just make it work. He always kind of has. This just happens to be a situation where he has no bigs. He has a lot of talent. I've done like a full 180 on DeMar DeRozan. He's fun to watch now. It's weird.
He only took one 3-pointer tonight. It's just so amazing to me that he's never developed into a good 3-point shooter, and then just continues to be this mid-range, like, lethal from mid-range. Just for 30 and 11 tonight with one 3-point attempt. I've always liked him. Like in Toronto, like I just think he's like a cool guy. So I've always rooted for him, but he's just not like good enough to be a championship player. You know what I mean? And it sucks, but you're right. I do like watching him. He's super
fun.
You
know what's interesting about him is that he is great. Like his mid-range is incredible. He gets to the rim and he gets to the free throw line. And I was doing my other podcast with Norris Cole last week, and we got into this whole back and forth about best players ever and championship players. He made a great point. Like as much as we talk about three-point, the ability to score from everywhere on the floor and three-point, being able to score at all three levels, the dominant championship level players are great mid-range players. Mm-hmm. And not that that means that DeMar, that I'm making an argument that DeMar could be that guy, because I don't think he can consistently score at all three levels. But there's a lot of guys who the mid-range has been completely eliminated from their game. He is one from day one. This his whole career has been the mid-range. So there's like I'm finding like a newfound appreciation for how good his mid-range is. And in this, in the way this game is now, you know, the teams are basically saying to players, beat us from the mid-range. We don't want you to go to the rim. We don't want you to shoot threes. So beat us from the mid-range. And he just continues to do it.
Yeah. And he's the best player on an 18-15 team in a good conference. So it works. I mean, you can win games that way. But yeah, it's a lost art.
Yeah. And then
I'm rooting for him. I really
am. That whole roster is just really interesting. And the way I talked about at the beginning of the year, how the mix of young guys and veterans didn't make sense to me. Now it's what makes this team run, because they have these guys like Patty Mills, Rudy Gay coming off the bench, who are both still playing really well. DeRozan's their best player, but then DeJounte Murray, Derek White, Keldon Johnson, Lonnie Walker. It's just like this weird mix of veterans and young guys that just seems like good enough to potentially make the playoffs.
Yeah. It's strange.
They're 18-15 right now. So
yeah, it's so weird because they're like one of the only teams you can't really point. Like, do they have a future all-star on this team? I mean, maybe Keldon Johnson, maybe DeJounte Murray, but
Future all-star. I was gonna say DeMar DeRozan is an all-star, and many people thought he should have been an all-star this year.
No, I mean like a guy that in a year or so, like you're gonna be like, oh, that's an all-star, you know?
Well, I'd have to see what Keldon Johnson's jump is from year one to year two, because he looked really good, but I don't know. And Murray, it's hard to say with DeJounte Murray. I don't know that he's ever going to be – I don't know that he's ever going to score enough. Like, I don't ever think he's going to be a stat stuffer enough to be an all-star, which is unfortunate because it shouldn't be the only thing.
Yeah.
But he's a very good player. I just – he doesn't strike me as a – he strikes me as like an all-around really good but not great at anything.
But that's what I'm saying. This
other than being super athletic.
Yeah. Roster is like full of those guys, which makes for a winning team and fun to watch. But it's like, I just feel like their ceiling is capped for the foreseeable future unless they really hit on a draft pick.
Yeah. You know who else is spring loaded? Lonnie Walker.
Yeah. That guy's awesome. And what's his hair looking like these days? He's got like a buzz now, right? But he used to have the sickest haircut. He was literally like Gerald from Hey Arnold.
It was pretty crazy.
So when he would jump with that, it was incredible. But
they called him something. They called him, I've never heard this nickname, but the San Antonio announcer called him El Cuatro.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Which I thought was a pretty cool nickname, but I've never heard anyone call him that before. I don't know if that's just a San Antonio thing.
He's Lonnie Walker IV. So yeah. Maybe that's
it. No, that's what it is.
Oh, okay.
That's why you were saying it. I'd never heard it used. I don't watch a lot of local San Antonio broadcasts, but right. Maybe it's just a San Antonio thing. He's fun to watch too. I just like this team. I'm rooting for them to make the playoffs. I wouldn't mind seeing it. And then, so at one point, this is the Pop thing. This is like the first quarter, I think. Pop was frustrated with the refs early on. And then Jalen Brunson just walks in for a layup. And you see Pop calling, like aggressively calling for a timeout. And I guess maybe the ref didn't see him, or I don't know what it was, but the ref was running back down court and Pop does like this old man, like jump. It wasn't like he was standing already, but he like jumped, but didn't get off the ground in front of the ref to like call timeout on the court. It was so weird. I was like, man, he looks old, but that was funny.
Did he get it? Did he get
the ref? Yeah, they got the timeout. Yeah, they got the timeout. But it was just, it was so funny. He and
he's careful out there.
He's got that long, he's got that long hair. He, I 70, gotta be in his 70s.
It's gotta be right. Yeah, 72.
Yeah.
Hey, he should not be jumping around out there at that age. Yeah. But
that hair, he's got that mob boss hair. I feel like he is like descending into insanity quick, but still a good coach. So it's fun.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
But the big news, obviously, out of San Antonio and in the NBA today is that the Spurs and LaMarcus Aldridge have mutually agreed to part ways, which is not, it's not shocking that they're, that they want to move on and he wants to move on. It just, the timing was weird. I don't think anyone saw it coming. It wasn't really discussed. I think if anybody was really discussed, at least in the media, and what does the media know really other than the, other than Woj and Shams, right? And some others, few others, a handful, maybe Windhorst, you know, the big dogs,
The Horst.
But Rudy Gay is a guy who's been mentioned a lot. Like, I think a lot of people have looked at Rudy Gay as a guy because he's on a, he's, he makes 14 million. It's a little bit more movable. I think he's in the last year, pretty sure he's in the last year, but anyways. So here's the interesting thing though, about the LaMarcus Aldridge situation. First of all, he's having a bad year. He's having a down year. He's 35 years old. So, and it's not like a Blake Griffin situation where it's like, he's in Detroit, so he's playing like shit on purpose. And when he goes somewhere else, he's going to probably be good.
Right. This or team's James overachieving Harden at this point. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the deal is with Aldridge. I would take a shot on him if I was a team, because he is still LaMarcus Aldridge. He's still probably pretty good, but there is concern to me that he's making $24 million. It's an aspiring deal. He's making $24 million, so you got to make the pieces work for a guy who's having a bad year on a good team. I don't know that, and I can't imagine it's a fit thing. He's been good on that team. The first year they were there, they won like 60 games or something. You know, so it would be concerning if I was a team. Like, why is he bad? Is it fit, or is he just old and a little washed up? And if that's the case, are you willing to even try to make the money work to go take a chance on this guy? Like, and then who are the teams that can even afford, like, who are the teams that have the pieces to make this? You know what I mean? There's just 24 million. That number is huge for a guy who's 35 years old, even though it's expiring, for a guy who's 35 and having one of the, you know, one of the worst years of his career, because probably because he's old.
It's tricky. I mean, the team that pops into my mind is Boston and Kemba Walker, but it doesn't really fit for now, the Spurs. Well,
so interestingly, the Boston has a $28 million trade exception.
Oh, so they wouldn't even need to include Kemba.
They would have to include somebody. They just have to send something back. I saw someone say like Tristan for him straight up, and then absorb the use the trade exception. I guess that's possible. I mean, again, the other team that always comes up is the Heat, because they have those three expiring deals, Iguodala, Kelly Olynyk, and whatever happens with Myers Leonard. That's a team that always comes up. You got Portland, who I don't think they have the money to make it work, but a lot of people have mentioned him going back to Portland, which would be awesome just from a storyline.
And they desperately need bigs.
But I was looking at them earlier. I don't think they have the ability to make it work. I saw someone mention Chicago, maybe Otto Porter, because they're talking about buying out Otto Porter, who makes a lot of money. So maybe an Otto Porter straight up for LaMarcus Aldridge situation. Otto Porter, if he's healthy, would be really good for the Spurs. Mm-hmm. Doesn't help their size situation, but he seems like the kind of guy who fits.
Yeah. Man, I'm trying to think. It really is a jam, mainly because of the 24 this year, the 24 million. But it's nice that it's expiring. But, like, you just really, truly don't know what you're going to get. Like, the upside is there, but it's not huge upside. And he could also just be washed flat out. Like, sure. It could be.
Well, and Woj is reporting that they're talking to a bunch of there's a bunch of conversations already going on. The report is also that they're going to work to get him to a place that he wants to be. So that obviously limits options too, because I would imagine he either wants to play for a playoff or a contender.
Like a ring. Yeah. Like he's,
because if his whole thing, like my thing is if he wants to play for a playoff team, he's on a playoff team.
He's on one. Right.
So who are those teams? Brooklyn can't do it. They just don't have the pieces. I mean, I don't know if they have any trade exceptions, but I don't think they have anything. The only contract that they have that's even, you know, above $10 million and movable at this point is Dinwiddie. So they would have to get a third team involved. And they just got Blake Griffin, so I think they're out, right? Philly. I don't think Philly has the pieces. And also, I don't think he fits. I mean, I think it would be a Horford situation all over.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, they are actually pretty similar players. Just like
Horford's a much better defender, and it still didn't work. So very similar. Actually, I think at this point Horford's a much better player. It's not even a knock on Aldridge. I think
the guy's 30. He's super old.
Is Horford. I just think Horford still got it. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a bad situation in Philly. I think Horford still can be a really good. I think Aldridge might just be a little bit washed, like you said. Okay, so that's two. We talked about Boston. Boston can do it. They have the pieces. Miami, they can do it. They have the expiring deals to make it work. But again, if you're Miami, do you want to trade Kelly Olynyk and Andre Iguodala for LaMarcus Aldridge? Does that make you better? I don't think so. I don't know. I guess you just – I think if you're Miami in that scenario, you have to be looking at Brooklyn and saying, we're not beating Brooklyn unless we get much better. And at his best, LaMarcus Aldridge is better than these guys. So we're taking a chance. Mm-hmm. And worst case scenario, they're all expiring at the end of the year. So if it doesn't work, it wasn't going to work anyways with Kelly Olynyk and Iguodala. That's the only rationale I could think of for making that move. Because at this point in LaMarcus Aldridge's career, it's almost like people are pushing that narrative of him to Miami just because they want something done so badly to replace Kelly Olynyk. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to playoff time, would you rather have Aldridge or Iguodala?
I think I'd rather have Aldridge, to be honest. But I mean, in terms of
it's a question. It's at least a question.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
I don't know, man. Okay, so
it's not going to be pretty wherever he goes. I mean, then we're looking at the LA teams, right? He doesn't exactly fit on either one of those.
And they don't have the money. That's the thing is, okay, if you're the Clippers, Marcus Morris is better than him. I don't think they're going to move Pat Beverly for him, although they should. Mm-hmm. But even Pat Beverly, he only makes $13 million. So you still got to figure out who else is included. So if that doesn't work, I don't think. And then I don't think the Lakers don't have contracts to move to do that. So unless one of these other teams has a big trade exception that they could use, which is possible. I don't really know. I just know Boston because I saw an article about it. Denver was a team that I thought about, but like, he's not better than Paul Millsap when Millsap's healthy, is he? Right now?
I don't think so. Millsap has trailed off a little bit, but I still don't think he's as washed as Aldridge might be, you know?
Yeah, I just don't know. It's hard to say, but I got to think if Aldridge was like, this is a playoff team, Pop wants to win. Pop's old. I don't think he's out here trying to do a full rebuild. So if Aldridge could contribute, I think Pop would try to convince him. Like, I think Pop knows. Now here's the thing. It is very possible that LaMarcus Aldridge went to Pop and said, hey, I really, I'm almost done. This could be my last year. I want to win a title. And Pop said, well, we're not winning a title. So fair enough. Because Pop's, I think, is a realistic person and knows this is not a championship team. So that's possible. And if that's the case, maybe he's not bad. Maybe he just, you know, maybe Pop just decided, hey, I'm going to be nice to him. He didn't have to come to San Antonio after Tim Duncan retired. He kind of kept us relevant for the last few years. Let's reward him by figuring out a way to get him to a contender.
That would be nice. Yeah, but his numbers have dropped off sharply. So I do think there's that has to
be. But he's still shooting like 36% from three, I think.
I got it up right now. Yeah, he's right at 36%. I just don't – I mean, the other thing is like – so we've pinpointed Boston as a team that can do it with the trade exception, but like –
Boston and Miami seem like the only teams that have like the easiest path to it.
But don't you
think there's trade exceptions that I don't know about?
There's going to be better things that those two teams can do to improve their team with that space, you know, like much better things, I would think.
Like what?
I mean, things can pop up. I mean, I guess we're kind of ruling out Bradley Beal as a trade. It doesn't look like that's happening.
I don't think major trades are happening this season. I don't think it's happening. I think you're either going to have to. It's going to be a situation like this LaMarcus Aldridge situation, or it's going to be buyouts. And yeah, Drummond
I'd
might
rather
be
have Andre Drummond. Like I'd much rather have Andre Drummond. I mean, you're going to sign him. He'll be take up a lot less of your cap, but clearly the better player.
Maybe.
I'm pretty,
I mean, all these things that people that you hear from scouts and coaches about Andre Drummond, man, it is very off-putting.
Yeah. But he's not 35. He's got that going for him.
Oh, yeah. And he'll fill up the stat sheet for sure.
Yeah.
Let me look. I was looking at this article. Hold on. Boston, Chicago. I guess Chicago is another one. But, like, again, you know, would he want to go to Chicago? I don't think so.
No, that's a worse – I mean, I like Chicago, but that's a worse situation than San Antonio, I think. They're not winning a title.
Also, I mean, he's not better than Thaddeus Young or Markkanen. So if they're healthy, or Wendell Carter for that matter, right, at this point, well, he might be. Again, he might be. I don't know. Maybe he just needs a change of scenery. I don't know. That change happens for a lot of guys. I think, yeah, you know.
But I mean, it does. The writing's on the wall that it looks like he wants a ring, and that's Chicago is not even in really the conversation for that right now.
Sure. So yeah, I mean, it's got to be. I think you can count Brooklyn and Philly out. I think Miami and Boston have the path to it. And then the LA teams doesn't seem realistic. No. Denver, I don't think makes sense. Look, Portland's not completely out of the question. I just don't know if they have the way to make it work money-wise.
Yeah. I mean, if they decide, you know, okay, Covington just hasn't worked out. That's $12 million. You know, we're getting close at that point, but I don't think it makes you better.
Isn't there a way? I thought I was looking at their thing and they could potentially do it without moving Covington, but they would have to give up a lot of stuff.
Right.
Oh, it would be Rodney Hood and Derek Jones, which
those two would make it would equal it. That'd,
well, Rodney Hood and Derek Jones gets you to about $19.5 million. And then you throw in Harry Giles or, you know, it's whoever, just to get close on the money.
Yeah.
I would do that if I was
Portland. I'd probably do that. I would do that, especially for the nostalgia.
I don't even think Rodney Hood's played very much for that team this year.
No. Yeah.
He's been injured a lot. Derek Jones actually seems like a San Antonio guy. And I mean, Giles, look, send Giles down to San Antonio and let Pop work his magic.
And that'd be awesome. That could be.
Yeah.
That could be a career revival.
I'll tell you what.
Type situation.
Portland, if a completely healthy Portland team with CJ and Nurkic with LaMarcus Aldridge at the four, Dame, and then Melo and Cantor and Simons and Trent coming off the bench. I like that team.
Me too. Yeah. And it's not like you're missing Rodney Hood and Derek Jones Jr. that much.
I like that team a lot.
Maybe that's the trade. Maybe that makes the most sense.
Yeah, they could do it. So they could do it. And I would imagine that he would be fine going there.
I think so. Are those deals expiring though? Like, I mean, because then if you're the San Antonio, do you even like, are you intrigued by it? I mean, Derek Jones
has a player option for about $10 million next year, which is not a bad deal. He's a pretty decent player.
Mm-hmm. And looks like Rodney Hood's non-guaranteed for next year. So,
right. So they're interesting. Dallas was another team I was thinking about, but I don't think they have the money to make it work. And I don't think he would make a ton of sense for them. Get another slow big man.
Right. Who's not really that great defensively.
So, well, we'll see. It seems like it's going to go relatively fast. It sounds like they have been already talking to teams and getting this thing going. So we'll see over the next couple of days what happens. The other, just in terms of rumors and news, there was a report today that the Warriors are going to be very active, potentially very active, that they feel a responsibility to Steph to maximize his window. So that leading up to this deadline, they're going to be very active. And Bob Myers said, we're going to be picking up the phone.
I love that. But realistically, what is the best possible piece they could add? I mean,
Victor Oladipo and PJ Tucker. Can you imagine PJ? That'd be nice. Can you imagine PJ Tucker and Draymond Green in a front court together?
That would be the ultimate small ball death lineup. Like, it would just be,
and also just the most electric defensive front court ever, because it's 2 6'5" guys who are two of the best defensive players in the NBA.
Yeah, just everywhere.
It's just crazy. Just defensively, that team in general. I guess Clay is not there, but Oladipo when he's healthy, Clay when he's healthy, and then those two.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're really small, but that's a crazy defensive team.
It is.
And yeah. PJ Tucker is the best. Last year was the best corner 3-point shooter in the NBA.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just, my default at the beginning of the year was Brad Beal. Now my default is the Rockets because of their situation.
Makes sense. Yeah. And that would be a significant boost to them. Like then they're getting a little scary in my eyes.
Well, then my bold prediction is probably wrong.
Right. But you weren't factoring in the trade that you just laid out
there. Right. All right. Before we wrap up, I do want to just quickly address the Myers Leonard stuff again from yesterday. So Myers Leonard, shortly after our podcast ended yesterday, he put out his statement. I basically predicted his statement word for word on the podcast. Not exactly, but the basic tenets of what his apology was going to be. The Heat then pretty soon after released a statement that he's away from the team now indefinitely while the league investigates. So we'll see what comes of that.
Investigates.
Probably. Yeah. I'm not sure what the investigation is.
Is it just an interview?
Udonis Haslem came out or was asked, I guess, commented on it today and basically said, there's no place for that here. So he is, but there was, so Julian Edelman put out like this open letter to him. And I feel like the stuff he said in it is better than anything I said yesterday, or like he articulated my thought, the kind of things I was thinking just better. So I was going to read it because I think I agree with a lot of the things he said. It happened yesterday, so it was all very like new, so I was sort of like rambling, but I did kind of want to read this. So he wrote an open letter to Myers Leonard. We've never met. I hope we can one day soon. I'm sure you've been getting a lot of criticism for what you said. Not trying to add to that. I just want to offer some perspective. I get the sense that you didn't use that word out of hate, more out of ignorance. Most likely you weren't trying to hurt anyone or even profile Jews in your comment. That's what makes it so destructive. When someone intends to be hateful, it's usually met with great resistance. Casual ignorance is harder to combat and has greater reach, especially when you command great influence. Hate is like a virus. Even accidentally, it can rapidly spread. I'm down in Miami fairly often. Let's do a Shabbat dinner with some friends. I'll show you a fun time.
Classy move.
But this part, when someone intends to be hateful, it's usually met with great resistance. Casual ignorance is harder to combat and has greater reach, especially when you command great influence. Hate is like a virus. Even accidentally, it can be rapidly spread. No one on the internet in this whole thing has said anything better than those lines right there. It's right.
Yeah, it's really good. He did something very, very similar. He reached out to DeSean Jackson when DeSean Jackson had his whole fiasco, his anti-Semitic fiasco.
Yep.
So Julian Edelman's very dedicated to, you know, bringing awareness to this whole thing. And I thought, yeah, I'm not actually like a huge Julian Edelman fan. So then when I read it and I was like, that's really well said, you know, that's good stuff. So
I think the amazing thing about this is this, that most Jewish people that I've spoken to, including myself, agree that while there's no place for it, and that he's wrong and that it's ignorant, that there is that these apologies tend to be a very form thing. Like when something like this happens, it's like, oh, I didn't understand this and that. There is a genuine possibility that he was saying a word that he had no idea what it meant, only that it was an insult. Doesn't make it right. It makes it ignorant. Like exactly what Julian Edelman is saying. It doesn't make it right. It also doesn't mean he hates all Jewish people. It also doesn't mean he hates anybody. It just means he's ignorant to what he was saying, which is in a way a bigger problem and needs to be addressed. That's it. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. Will he be playing in the NBA again? I don't know. It's going to be tough. I don't think he'll ever play for the Heat again. That's understandable. Their owner's Jewish. I mean, and he's a little older. And like I said yesterday, there's a sort of a generational, I never grew up being called that word. I would imagine an older generation, my parents, and before that, probably heard that from time to time. You know, it's a word that doesn't get said much. And that's why this is, to me, I agree with what Julian Edelman, his sentiment here is that it's more ignorance than hate. But ignorance can lead to a lot of hate if it's not, you know, if people aren't willing to learn about it. And I would say for both sides in this whole thing, because he needs to learn, people who say this word and don't know what it means needs to learn, but also the people that are going nuts about this that also don't know what the word is need to learn. I think there's just a learning moment here. I read this and I was like, yeah, it's about as well said as you can put it.
Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. And it hopefully, well, I don't want to say puts a bow on it because he does have to like learn and make the right strides.
Well, I mean, until we find out what if any repercussions there are, and, you know, is he going to get traded? I mean, there's a lot to this because of his situation, playing in South Florida, playing for a Jewish owner, having a contract that I think a lot of people expected the Heat to move on from this year, yeah, especially after he got hurt. And now there's them saying that there's an investigation. Again, not really sure what the investigation necessarily is. That's probably just a way to delay a decision by saying they're doing an investigation. Mm-hmm. But what's the decision? Like, what can you do? That's the other thing. What can you do? Can you suspend him? I don't know.
I mean, probably. I mean, fine him the max, and maybe suspend him a couple games, and you know, make him pay financially. And then I bet you. I don't. Did he respond to the Julian Edelman thing? I mean, I bet you.
I don't know.
They get together.
So. Not publicly.
Yeah. I bet you they get together, and you know, they make a thing of it, and then it will at least appear as if Myers Leonard has learned his lesson, and they'll go from there. I don't think he's done in the NBA. He should certainly be done with the Heat.
Yeah. I will say there's one other thing in this whole situation that really does piss me off. And I had a conversation about it with someone that I'm actually very good friends with today, and it pissed me off. And then I've seen a lot of people on the internet saying there's this idea out there. It's probably, again, a certain generation, a certain person, streamers, video game people this is just kind of something that happens when people do like video game rages. Like when people get mad in playing video games, they like lash out. It's like if you played video games all the time, you'd hear it. you'd hear things like this. Or if you did this often, you'd all the people that are saying that need to shut the fuck up. Like, downplaying this, because if you played more video games, you'd hear people saying hateful things all the time, is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. That doesn't, what are we, what's
yeah,
the,
it doesn't make it less problematic.
I mean, and this is someone that I am very close with, was like, I mean, in his defense, I mean, like if you played Warzone, I mean, you'd hear people saying stuff like this all the time. So
yeah, well, that's true, but that doesn't really matter that much. You know, like,
what matters a lot now. Hey, look, if anything, if that's what people are saying, then maybe there needs to be like, we need to look into the fucking Warzone and the streaming shit. Like, you can't censor people, but goddamn, what? So now it's just normal to be, you know, racist and prejudice and all that in Warzone? It's just because he got mad about a video game.
Yeah, no.
Like, when I remember when I was like, when I was a kid, when I got mad about the video game, just threw the controller a lot.
Yeah,
I didn't call my brother at, like, I might have called him things, but I don't know. I'm just saying, it's like that whole concept that I didn't even know people just accepted until today, when I heard it from multiple places where they're like, oh, this is just like a normal, this is just, you know, video. I don't forget what they called it. Like, oh, this is gamer rage or gamer raging or something. I don't know. You play.
That's true, but that doesn't excuse the action. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
yeah,
like YouTube comments are a cesspool, right? It's the same thing with playing online video games, but that's not an excuse. Like, that doesn't.
Right. You know, I know.
Any less bad. Yeah. So I don't know.
That's what I mean. So all the people that are like trying to say, oh, this is just what happens in video games, just shut the fuck up. Like, you're wrong. I mean, you're not wrong that it happens, but you're wrong in like trying to have it be any type of justification. It's not.
Right. Yeah. Especially, I mean, there's kids. I mean, especially somebody with that
platform
of a following, like, you're perpetuating a problem. Like,
yeah. Yeah. The whole thing was crazy to me, but respect Julian Edelman, and I really appreciated what he said in that thing. So that's it. That's all I got for today. We'll see how this whole thing shakes out. I'm imagining it's not going away anytime relatively soon. I think we still got a little while to go on the Myers-Leonard situation.
Yeah.
But we will see. Anything else? Blake Griffin's not playing Thursday in his first game with the Nets, but he did do media and he said, I am not injured at all.
Nice.
He wanted to make that very clear. Yeah. He is not injured.
Do you have to go when you're switching teams? Is there some sort of protocol, or why is he playing?
Pass a physical. Steve Nash said that he hasn't played in a while, so they just are taking it slow. They don't want to like just throw him in there and play him. They want to make sure he's 100%. Here's the thing. He should probably only be playing like 10, 15 minutes for the next 20 games. Because if anything, like, this team's going to the playoffs, they want him at 110% for the playoffs. So,
last thing I'll say today, the Sixers play the Bulls tomorrow without Embiid and Simmons. The Bulls will cover that game. They will cover. They've been covering everything.
No
Simmons, no Embiid.
You've tried so hard not to give advice on gambling. Now they're not going to cover.
That would suck.
Yeah.
The line's not even out yet, so I can't be held responsible.
Fair enough. It's going to be low. Chicago might be favored.
It's actually possible. That'd be crazy.
Chicago's a better team without those two.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I'm interested to see now.
No, don't. Oh, you're interested. But you admit that Chicago is the better team without Embiid and Simmons.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
When you said,
I don't know. I thought you were saying what the line's going to be.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
I thought you were saying you didn't know if Chicago is the better team without Simmons and Embiid.
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay, good. Good. I think this is a good place to stop.
Yep.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. First full slate of games after All-Star break. Good slate. Later. See ya.
Later.
for the ones standing guard, for the eagle-eyed, for the knights in shining armor, and for all those who support them. We are Grainger, your experienced safety partner, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, committed to helping keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com/safety, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.